Good morning.
This is Steven Chapansky from Radio Free Scarl, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Scrolling for November 28th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Essenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week has been a fantastic week. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Well, it was Steve's week. It was the week designed around Steve.
I was trying to focus on you, Chip.
I know.
I was asking you, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was fine.
Okay, but now let's not talk about you anymore.
That's right. But Steve's birthday week.
It's my birth week. I have had the best week of the year. This is my Christmas. This is my everything happens this week. We got a chance to go to Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, yes, they did. They were very generous. They gave us press passes, and we went and took advantage of seeing many of the panels.
I want to get you a button that says, this is my first time at a Doctor Who convention. You were a fish out of water, but you had fun, I think.
It was a very wonderful run event. It was very interesting. I absolutely enjoyed it. For a person who is really into Doctor Who.
As many of us who are there are very into this project, yes.
And for a person who is outside the area that mm-hmm. is considering coming to this. You can come to the Chicago area. Lombard's got them all across. You can get up for Black Friday.
That's right.
But the deal is that this is big enough and small enough. Big enough you can get people.
Yeah.
You can attract
three doctors this year. Thank you very much.
You can attract the talent,
uh-huh.
and then small enough where you're intimate with them.
Yes, experience of the people from the show and our community of people that are the fans. Chicago TARDIS is the convention,
and then they can throw you in a Dalek and you can run around the hotel.
Sure. Exterminate. Housekeeping, exterminate.
That's the bad guys. I knew they were bad guys.
Okay,
but there's these little. They've got a plunger and they've got a whisk.
A whisk. Yeah,
they can come get you.
Yeah, the evil pepper pots. That's right.
Down, get my film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see the big movie of 2017. Justice League is on the screen. And Chip, tell me all about Justice League.
Justice League. I went that Tuesday. Our local theater has a little special going on.
Yeah.
And so
$5 Tuesdays.
Oh, we do our best.
Awesome.
And so I knew that we were going to have to review a movie. So I had a meeting. I was coming back from it. I stopped and I watched this movie, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Thor was a lot of fun, Steve. This movie has...
that's the best thing you've got for Justice League. Is remember Thor? Yeah, that was good.
In fact, I was talking to my brother during Thanksgiving. They were thinking, we're going to go to a movie.
Uh-huh.
We're thinking about going to see Justice League.
Yeah.
I said, you probably want to go see Thor. He goes, why? Because Thor's fun.
Yeah.
And it is. Thor is a fun movie.
Right.
This movie is, there's a lot going on around it. If you remember, we had some tragedy with the director that happened.
Right.
We had a new director, Joss Whedon, come in and try to work with it. They've got a different color palette that was put together. I'm talking about how the colors are showing up in the movie.
Because DC has been very dark in their previous films.
And they've kind of tried to lighten it up a little bit.
Okay, good.
The point being is, if you want to make a cartoon movie,
mm-hmm.
make a cartoon movie. Because the bad guy of it is a guy named Steppenwolf. And Steppenwolf is all CGI.
Mm-hmm.
He is a cartoon. And not only that, his voice is like a big voice from a cartoon, not a voice from a human, but you know, an entity.
It doesn't fit with what's happening on screen, huh?
Yeah. And They had a lot of reshoots on this. They spent a lot of money on this movie. And Harry Clavel, who was filming a Mission Impossible movie during that time, had a mustache. So they had to put CGI over his face for him to talk and stuff like that.
Really?
And
they just didn't paint it over like the Joker and the Batman?
Man, let me promise you, that may have been a better example because it looked like bad animation, and I think that they just didn't have time to do it. Warner Brothers put a lot of money in the movie.
Yeah,
they had to try to recoup some of that money, but they just didn't have their time was cut short because they were trying to do it in probably half the time.
Okay.
That would normally take.
Boy.
There are some good elements of this.
Okay.
Wonder Woman is by far wonderful at this.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck did a great job as Batman.
That is not what I've heard. The other reviews that I've read was Ben Affleck just looked like he did not want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there.
That's what I've heard.
But it's I don't think it's his fault.
Okay.
The scripts are odd. There's some curse words in it. And I say that in the sense not to... They just seemed out of place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really a big fan of Aquaman, although I could probably work with it, but the Flash, the guy that they, picked for the Flash, what an odd choice and what an odd take on the character. These are heroes,
right?
And, they don't all have to be the same. We can have different versions of it, but when they stray so far away, really Wonder Woman is the character that was probably the most important part of this. This was to set up Jack Kirby's fourth world. So if we think of the Thor movie, which was a big homage to Jack Kirby, this was also a homage to Jack Kirby. It just didn't work real well. They're going to have to really sit back and think about where they want to go with this. There is Wonder Woman 2 that's already being set up to, and Wonder Woman worked out real well. I'm sure that's going to work out fine. There's an Aquaman movie. I don't know. I don't really have any desire to see that too. And I really didn't have a big desire to see this movie. But I was coming back. I knew that we were going to have to review a movie. And I said, well, let's get this done. So I went to see it. So you don't have to.
Okay.
It will come out on DVD and Blu-ray at some point.
So on your 100-point scale that you famously use on the show.
30, 45.
This is a 30 or 45% on the chip recommend scale.
They failed miserably on this.
Wow.
And if you wanted to go see a superhero movie and you had not seen Thor, go see Thor. Thor is joyful. Thor is fun. These characters should be that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a cast that they put together that is capable as they are, they just really haven't found a good way of presenting this. I feel sorry for Harry Cavill because I think he's a great Superman, but I think that they just give him weird material and it just hasn't worked for him yet.
Wow.
So there you go.
I did not get a chance to go to the movie theater this week. I sat at home in my Netflix movie theater and got a chance to see Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond.
So this is about Jim Carrey. Tell me a little bit about it.
This is a documentary. This is the behind-the-scenes footage from when Jim Carrey was filming Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman biopic, which I loved from 1999. This footage was shot on the set of that film and has been sitting in Jim Carrey's office for the last 20 years. We heard 20 years ago when they were filming that Jim Carrey was using method acting, that he became Andy Kaufman.
And Andy Kaufman was an actor and a comedian who was known for kind of shock comedy at the time. And so Carrey became the jerk that Andy could be at times.
At least the personification of what we from the outside knew of Andy Kaufman. That guy who would do something to see what reaction would happen with his audience and with his co-workers.
So Andy Kaufman did things like got in a fight with a professional wrestler,
Jerry Lawler, and went on. That was a long period of time in the story of Andy Kaufman.
And Andy Kaufman also wrestled a female wrestler,
right?
And so I mean, there was all sorts of just oddities that would follow. Even at his death, they still questioned that you know, one day the Andy Kaufman will pop up and say, I got you.
Right. Because so, there's always that other persona that Andy Kaufman created that still can be on stage. Even though Andy Kaufman is dead, you've still got these echoes of this guy.
So Carrey wanted to basically portray this on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Method acting is where you become that character.
Both on screen and off screen. And this is finally the video proof of what antics he got up to off screen. And boy, I always heard rumors about how into this Jim Carrey was. I never really understood it until I got to see he got into a real altercation with Jerry Lawler, the real Jerry Lawler, off camera. Jerry Lawler couldn't take it anymore and went after Jim Carrey, and the whole production crew had to hold him back from breaking this guy.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that's commitment to a part.
The method actors I know of, the Actors Studio. The Actors Studio, Steve, we need a big black beard. I think of Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really aware of that many other method actors, but they usually take on that persona.
Yeah.
And,
for real.
And if they're difficult to deal with,
mm-hmm.
then yes. If their character is difficult to deal with.
Production was difficult.
Sean Young is another probably.
Okay.
I'm guessing. Because she, when everything's good with the characters, everybody's happy. And then when the turn is, and if she's the turn character, they don't want to work with her again.
Wow.
So
some of the scenes in the behind the scenes footage here, we've got Milos Forman, who is the director, begging Jim Carrey, saying the words, "Give me a chance, please, please stop doing this. Give me a chance to make this movie," because the Jim Carrey slash Andy Kaufman persona was being very disruptive of this production. And to see a award-winning director begging his star to please let him try to make this movie.
We've got a budget and a time schedule. Let me get through this movie.
Please stop with the antics. The other part was Danny DeVito is physically scared, physically wondering what's going to happen. And you can see it on his face. He's not talking. He's just got this facial expression that says everything, that what is going to happen with this situation? How are we going to get this project done? And this is a very good documentary. I do recommend it. It's called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
It's a Netflix original, which is a great way to get these pieces of information out there. Netflix has the ability to pick these pieces up and show them to us.
Absolutely. And they've got to really sort of set their agenda up because Disney's coming.
That's right.
That's right.
The
All
Disney
right.
streaming service. Oh, boy.
So one of the ways they're trying to distinguish themselves is by comedians. So tell me a little bit about the comedian you saw this week.
Yeah, they have been picking up the stand-up specials from lots of stars of stand-up comedy. The one that I saw this week was the Brian Regan Nunchucks and Flamethrowers. Brian Regan is one of the giants of stand-up comedy right now. I really enjoy what he is putting together. Mm-hmm. He's a middle-aged man with children.
And what?
He tells stories.
Like Louis C.K.
Oh, boy. Can we even talk about Louis C.K. anymore? Brian Regan's one of the good ones so far. Brian Regan is really on the same page as you and I. He is a middle-aged guy with kids. He tells stories about being a middle-aged guy with kids and says these stories in a way that is so intriguing, so funny, adding just that comedic twist that is a perfect match to the story. I enjoyed this special just as much as any of the other specials that I've seen on Netflix. Netflix is doing it right with stand-up comedy.
They're wonderful.
They're kind of the stand-up comedy channel in a lot of ways.
Right. And in fact, the beauty is that they can put whatever you want. They could a comedian can present their material as it would be presented mm-hmm. in a club, in a setting.
Right.
And that is that's a lot of freedom.
Yes.
Where if you're broadcasting it different ways, it would not be.
Absolutely. Opening this week, we've got some movies. Not a lot of big movies this week.
This is a real weird.
It's a really in-between week.
Yeah. We had all the big ones. If you want to see a movie and you need to see a big one,
go see Thor.
Well, you can see Coco. Or you can see any of the movies that came out during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This is that. All right. You had this big breath. You know, big breath. We brought them all out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the after week.
And then we're going to see some great movies coming out at the end of the year, that's for sure.
Or the mid part of the month.
Yeah. This week, we've got Wonder Wheel. This is another Woody Allen, Coney Island in the 1950s, and all the relationship questions about Woody Allen on screen. He can write a story about relationships, can't he?
Yes, he can. Interestingly enough, very we have all these scandals going around, but Woody Allen's movie comes right out.
Yeah. Come on through, Woody Allen. We've already crucified you.
This has Kate Winslet, of course.
Yes.
And of course, Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi as a New York gangster. Gee, I wonder how he got the role of a New York gangster. Seems like that's like all of his movies.
How interesting. Anyway, there's your probably the biggest movie of the week.
Right. There's one called Love Beats Rhymes. This is the story of a rapper named Coco, which has nothing to do with that Disney movie, I don't think.
She's being questioned on her rhymes, Steve. Mm-hmm. They're not skilled enough. She's got the skill to present.
So she takes a poetry class.
That's what college is all about.
Yes.
So if you ever wanted to go to the Rocky of poetry movies.
She's going to
This is going to be it right here,
cut
Steve.
Me, Nick. Yes. She gets into a situation where she is performing and she's making something of herself. It's very much the Rocky of poetry movies. Is that a genre of poetry movies?
It could be.
I guess it is now. There's a movie called Breaking Brooklyn. This is a 12-year-old boy who loves to dance, and Louis Gossett Jr. is going to make him the best dancer in Brooklyn so they can win the big prize and save the theater.
My goodness, this sounds like an 80s movie
right here.
It's like, oh, wait, what are we doing? Well, the developer is going to tear down the thing, our community center.
Right.
Because they're going to put them all up or something. But here it is, like, they're going to tear down the dance studio. Uh-huh. We got to win the $40,000
prize. $40,000
prize
for a dance contest.
Steve,
absolutely.
Dad's in prison. I've got to move in. I can't take the dance class.
Find Louis Gossett Jr. Is he still alive? Yeah, he's still alive. Okay, we'll put him in it.
This is a young person's film. This is definitely a genre that we're very familiar with from mm-hmm. the 80s, rewritten here and using tap dancing.
For the 21st century. The tap dancing movie for the 21st century. You found a movie called...
You give this like me, like it's mine.
Okay, there's a movie in the show notes that I didn't type up called Dirty Dealing 3D.
Steve... This movie was made for Mystery Science Theater.
Or Riff Tracks, yeah.
From the first get-go, because this is a very important movie. Steve, there's a child who has cancer. There's
leukemia, yes.
And the acting is showing. The acting is showing that there's only one way to pay for this cancer treatment. Let's put together a calendar, Steve.
Right.
In Las Vegas.
Most beautiful girls in Las Vegas, and they're going to do a calendar. Michael Madsen is featured in this movie as the boss of the casino.
But he's pulling out. He's not going to put his money in this, Steve. They're going to have to find somebody else. They're going to have to find a cousin or something. A brother.
He's my brother. Yeah, you look nothing alike. Okay, you should click on this trailer and watch this trailer. This is iMovie, first of all. I could tell because it looks exactly like the trailer that I did for our school Christmas card this week. It is very much the B-movie of B-movies.
Well, the acting looks outstanding.
Michael Madsen looks like they gave him $5 to say a word, and he would say that word.
They may have had cue cards up. You never know.
It's quite possible. It is quite possible that Michael Madsen was reading off of cue cards with his acting in this.
We need this done in one shot.
I love B-movies. I really do. I really like bad movies. I watch so many bad movies.
This looks like it's a bad movie.
This is a bad movie that when it comes around, I might watch this. It's as ridiculous as that sounds. There's a documentary called A Riddle of Steel, The Definitive History of Conan the Barbarian. This might be our pick of the week.
Well, this is our pick of the week.
Yeah.
This is the story of Robert E. Howard's creation, Conan the Barbarian. It's about the artists who put together the movies, the comics, the books.
And the real passion of those people to put this together. You can feel that passion in this trailer.
Conan is a character from an age that never really existed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of after, I don't know, Greece and Egypt died. There is this magic, you know, they're fighting sword and sorcery. Mm-hmm. They're fighting dragons and stuff like that. And he's always in war. I was never a big Conan fan, but he was a pulp magazine character.
Right.
In fact, when I thought of Edgar Rice Burroughs when I was reading Tarzan this summer, I reviewed one of his books.
Mm-hmm.
I have always wanted to read one of the original pulp magazines, stories of Conan, to see what it's all about. This is about that passion. So you get some of the artwork that surrounds it, and the artwork has a big a part of the visuals of it. And there's a huge passionate group that enjoys it.
Book it.
Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You have been reading Win Bigley, Persuasion in a World Where Facts Don't Matter. This is by Scott Adams.
Scott Adams, we may know him as the author of An Artist of Dilbert.
Mm-hmm. Very popular.
Popular cartoon. Do you read Dilbert?
I've never gotten into Dilbert. I've never had an office job. I cannot relate to the concept of Dilbert and the struggles of working in a cubicle. I don't understand that world.
I don't understand how you can't. I've never been in the military either, but Beetle Bailey makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
I've never been a drunk, but Andy Cap makes perfect sense to me.
Because you like sleeping on a couch that way.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't read Dilbert either.
Okay.
I do. Every once in a while, I'll see Dilbert, and it'll make me laugh. But I don't know why. But anyway, Scott Adams, I absolutely eat him up, man, as far as this book was absolutely fascinating. So during our last election, this is about the rise of Trump, and we're going to have listeners turning off at this point. I encourage you not to, because it's not necessarily about Donald Trump.
Right.
It's going to be about something else. And let me tell you what it is. This is a story about persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story about how Scott Adams saw in Donald Trump an ability to communicate effectively that was far better. He said he may be the best person I've seen in my lifetime. The other person he says that had this type of pull was Steve Jobs.
Okay.
So what you're initially thinking of is we usually don't think of Donald Trump as a very articulate person.
Correct.
But he's communicating. And that's the point.
Wow.
So Scott Adams started writing this blog, or he had a blog, but anyway, he started really writing, getting the people noticing his blog.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there's another website called 538.com. 538.com has called virtually every presidency since they've existed, except for this last one. But anyway, I follow 538.com. If you follow our Twitter and Facebook feeds, you're going to see some stuff from 538 because it's fascinating. They put together nice statistics and all that other fun stuff. Well, 538.com was basically saying, yes, there's no way Donald Trump is going to be able to rise from this. These are who the candidates we think are going to be. Scott Adams, who has a background, when he was beginning working and writing the Dilbert script, he took a hypnotism class.
Hmm.
And hypnotism is very fascinating. In fact, the first thing I thought of when I left this book is, I would like to take a hypnotism class. And I'm not talking about...
This book hypnotized you into wanting to take a hypnotism class.
Exactly.
It's very persuasive.
It was very persuasive. He was basically saying that the way Donald Trump talks, is very hypnotic. It is a very suggestive way of communicating. And the idea is we have a our ideas of hypnotism are wrong. He said no one is going to make you jump up and run around the arena as a chicken.
Bark like a chicken. Yes.
Exactly. No one's going to make you do that. You're going to have to want to do that. So there are hams that are in the audience who want to be noticed. Exactly. Who will come up on stage and they will give them suggestions and they will want to do that. So, of course, they will do it.
Sure.
So, hypnotism works clinically. Like if you wanted to eat less, or if you wanted to quit smoking, or if you wanted to exercise more, or if there's some part of your life that you wanted to work on. If you have a really deep desire to do that, mm-hmm. you will want this suggestion will work.
Okay.
Or has a greater chance of working. And this was, just eye-opening. I'm sitting there listening to him talk to it because I was working out listening to the Audible on this. And I kept thinking, wow, this is fascinating. And he also talks a lot about the way we view reality. So a lot of people think that we're very logical beings and that we always follow logic and we're like little robots and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of the times when we're going to ask for help, like you go to the doctor, you go to your local bank person or whatever it is, what they're doing is they're walking you through a process. And the idea is to take away some of your choices on it to get you to a healthier you or get your mortgage or whatever it is to get the thing done. Well, that's very logical. But for most of your life, you're not dealing with logic. You're dealing with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with how you perceive reality. So it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. And that's the whole point of how Donald Trump communicates, is that he's not necessarily interested in the truth. He's interested in your passion of that moment. Like he'll say, like, I'll do this. Well, you'll recognize like that, well, I don't think I can shrink to the size of a grain of sand. But what he'll say is, well, what I'm really saying is I'll bring in Steve, and Steve's an expert in it, and Steve will kind of figure out if we can do it or not. But I'll just go ahead and tell you we can do it.
Hmm.
And so this ability to communicate this way, is it manipulative? That's one of the questions I have. Richard Thaler won the Nobel Prize this year in economics and for his work on this. And that's behavior economics. So, and we may have talked about Dan Ariely's work.
I think we have, yeah.
From Duke University. And anyway, there's a gentleman also from Arizona State that is very skilled in this. And it sounds like that I'm not suggesting any of them because we don't know for sure, were working with Bernie Sanders on how he was communicating.
Hmm.
I'm going to give you an example that I can think of how Donald Trump talked to the public, and he talked about Jeb Bush, and he talked about low energy Jeb Bush. And Adam says, as soon as he said that, I knew Jeb Bush's days were numbered right there.
Once you've got a moniker, you are stuck with it.
All right. Yeah. And this is where Hillary Clinton's campaign was really struggling, because Trump called Hillary Crooked Hillary.
Mm-hmm. We've heard that.
All right, that's very visual, right? I'm sorry, that's you can picture it in your mind, Crooked Hillary, okay? And she referred to him as like Donald Duck or something like that. Certainly wasn't anything that was. It's more of like she was making a comeback, but it certainly had no teeth to it at all.
Right.
When I say low energy Jeb or Crooked Hillary, all of a sudden I've got a picture in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, later on, after Sanders had bowed out of the campaign, the group that was working with Sanders started working with Hillary. And that's where they came up with Dark Donald, basically referring to Donald as a dark person,
mm-hmm.
as in,
Darth Vader. Evil. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this words matter. How you present information matters. The truth doesn't necessarily matter. And that is a very interesting subject.
Wow.
And this book is all about that. It is absolutely worth your time to go through it and just recognize parts of your life. What if you could ask questions that would better communicate to others?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about manipulate them, but communicate with your children or communicate with your spouse or with colleagues or people you're working with. That is really something that's fascinating to me. This book, on some level, addresses it, but also explores how truth in this situation didn't necessarily matter.
Wow. It's really a big question mark about how can truth not matter in a thing like the presidential election? And it's very intriguing to think about persuasion over truth.
Well, the idea behind that was that you're given this junk. Like, that's not true. And that's why the fact-checking never really mattered. Like, everybody go, oh, he's lying. Let's go ahead and put together this list of all the lies he's made.
Right.
But a lot of it would be like, well, I've got this general over here and is an expert in it. I just said that we could do it. He's going to tell me if we can do it.
Right.
Okay. I just said that we would lower taxes, but I didn't say how we're going to do it. We got these people over here. They're going to show us how we're going to do it.
Right.
And you can always back off on it. And what's going to be fascinating from this is this: how this is going to impact. He's saying, Adams is suggesting that we've changed the paradigm on how we're going to communicate with each other going forward.
Hmm.
And that is fascinating.
Yeah.
That is absolutely, it could be scary.
It's a little scary.
well, for a lot of people, it is.
Yeah.
And I, you know, Adams says I'm an agnostic on who I, you know, I wasn't going to vote for. He said the backlash was so great.
Mm-hmm.
He said I had the money that I didn't need to make money. That's why I could write this stuff. He goes, but the backlash was so great. He goes, I wasn't supporting Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I had to actually come out there. At some point he had to come out and say, yeah, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton. Why? Because he was basically saying, listen, I don't vote, is what he said. I don't vote. I'm just observing this stuff. All right, anyway, so I highly recommend this book. I think it's a fascinating story.
There you go. It's Win Bigly, Persuasion in a World Where Facts Don't Matter by Scott Adams. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. So it's time for Steve to gush over the whole week of what happened this week. This week in Steve.
This week in Steve. So Steve, we had Steve week.
Yes.
Which basically
another successful Steve week, everyone. Good job, everyone. Thank you, everyone who sent me Christmas cards and birthday cards and Thanksgiving cards. There's no Thanksgiving cards. Nobody sends Thanksgiving cards.
Yes, they do.
There's really?
They do.
Wow.
They say thanks. All right, so Steve's birthday was this week.
On Thanksgiving this year.
Steve had a big meal on Thanksgiving.
I never overeat on Thanksgiving. Do you overeat on Thanksgiving? Is that a part of your lifestyle? I don't. I've never been the guy that goes, oh, I'm going to fill my plate. I ate modestly at Thanksgiving, and I enjoyed every piece of it because I was watching Turkey Day, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 marathon, 6 movies, 12 hours from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And at the last minute, literally 60 seconds at the last minute of the 12 hours, there was breaking news in this recorded thing. And Joel Hodgson announced there is a season 12 of MST3K on Netflix.
So it's coming. They haven't announced the date, though.
They are going to go into production. They're going to start producing it, and hopefully we will see it in the not-too-distant future.
Well, there we go. So Steve all of a sudden got a present on his birthday.
At 10 o'clock at night. I was already in bed because I'm an old man and I go to bed early. And I was still looking at my phone in bed, which is terrible. I'm a terrible person. And people started saying, oh my God, that just happened. That right. just happened.
So we should mention this, that in the previous season, the one that's on Netflix,
there was
a Christmas episode.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
Of course I did. I tried really hard not to watch it. I really wanted to put it off. And I do read in some of our community of MST3K viewers that some people have held on to it and haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I will watch it again. Maybe not on Christmas, because my Christmas is already full with 3 Star Wars movies and the Doctor Who episode.
So there you go. That's Steve's life right there on Christmas Day. And on Thanksgiving, it's watching bad movies with commentary.
12 hours.
On Christmas, it's the 3 Star Wars.
Only 3 Star Wars movies.
The original. not the prequels.
No! There are no prequels.
With lots of CGI and sand.
Oh, gosh.
And then we also have the Doctor Who, which brings us to Steve's after birthday celebration.
Yes, every year.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's right. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 24th, 25th, and 26th. I'm glad nobody called me because I was busy. I was at Chicago TARDIS 2017, the local Chicago area Doctor Who convention. About 2,000 of my closest friends. We hung out all weekend. We enjoyed ourselves. We enjoyed the community, the experience of talking with all of the stars, all the writers, all of the people that put together Doctor Who. And we experienced that together. And I had so much fun. I brought you along. You came out Saturday.
I went out Saturday. We got press passes.
Yes.
And so we got some interviews with a number of people.
Yes.
And we're going to put those interviews out as extras.
Yes.
As we build up to the Christmas program.
Yes, the Christmas episode where Peter Capaldi is going to regenerate into Jodie Whittaker, and we are going to see that happen. The anticipation is extremely high. I can tell you that much. That was a huge question in all of the panels, was what do you think about this character switching genders for the first time in 54 years? It's going to be exciting. Whether you enjoy it or not, it's going to be something to watch.
I don't think it really matters. It's the Doctor Who is a story.
And the story, Doctor Who is an alien.
Well,
so why does gender matter at all? That was one of the things that we came up with in this conversation.
Well, regardless, it's going to happen. And they're going to tell some stories.
Uh-huh.
And this last weekend was a celebration of all the previous seasons.
And stories.
And there we go. And they were very, when I say they, if you've never been to this event,
mm-hmm.
it's at the beautiful Westin Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Lombard.
There you go. And yeah. It's big enough that they can attract enough celebrity.
Three doctors were at this event, and you got to see all three of them on stage.
I did, and they're very charming.
Yes, they are.
They're very witty.
Yes.
They have a lot of fun with the audience. They're very playful with them. And then it's also small enough where you're intimate. You can get close to people. You can mm-hmm. ask questions. There was a lot of the audiobook performers there,
too. Big Finish. Oh, yeah. Big Finish is a big part of the convention. And
okay.
we see a lot of there's so many stories that are being told at the audio format instead of on TV. It's so much easier to tell a story mm-hmm. when your imagination is doing all the special effects. Special effects for Doctor Who. Historically, we're not great.
Well, exactly. It's a low budget program. In fact, I kept thinking there were people complaining about that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of people who, you know, said that's part of the charm of the show.
That's it.
I was thinking of HR Puff and stuff and stuff like that. These were all relatively low budget
products of their time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah.
But what we really got hold of is that, you know, there were a lot of different ages. There were older people
mm-hmm.
who were dressed up.
Sure.
And there were kids who were dressed
there's
up.
There's an adorable picture of a little girl in a Sixth Doctor costume having some FaceTime with the actual Sixth Doctor, Colin Baker. It is just a perfect photograph of this event. It's beautiful.
Well, when you start getting into 10, 11, 12, 13, they're choosing to dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were a lot of those around there. They were they got these bad guys called the Daleks,
uh-huh.
which are like, I don't know what they call them, blenders with a spatula.
They're usually
a whisk and a plunger.
Right. And it's very 60s.
And they have these, basically you can sit in one and you can drive it around mm-hmm. the convention.
Yeah, Dalek Alley is a feature of what we got to see. That is for sure. I'm glad that you came. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you put up with my gushing over all the people.
Steve really was. There was a big smile on his face. If you've seen a banana, you put that in front of your face,
bring a banana to a party.
There you go.
I'm glad that you met all of the people. I introduced you to a lot of different names
sure.
and faces. I don't know how many of them you caught, but the community is key here. We are a close-knit community. We've been going to these conventions for years. This is the 18th annual Chicago TARDIS, but we see each other at all sorts of events. There's the Doctor Who meetup group where we can get together and watch Doctor Who together and be a part of the community anytime. So I'm glad that you came. I want to thank a lot of people, especially Alien Entertainment, the group that puts on the convention every year.
Sure.
Especially Taylor Dethridge, who is our representative from Alien Entertainment, who gave us so much. She gave us her time and showed us around, and she's lovely.
Those rooms were packed for those events.
Yes.
And that was wonderful. There's a game room. There's basically stuff you can buy if you want to buy it. And then there was a guy giving out fudge because you can't sell fudge, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. You can't sell fudge. Here, have some fudge. I want to thank some of the guys who put together this whole thing. Stephen Warren Hill, Nick Seidler, and John Lavelle. We sat down and talked to them. We'll hear that in one of the extras coming up. The guys from the Doctor Who Target Book Club podcast. The boys from GBS podcast. Lynn Thomas, Erica Ensign from Verity podcast. Stephen Schapansky, who was such a great moderator. I don't know if you even noticed Stephen Schapansky as the moderator of the Three Doctors panel that you watched.
Sure.
He did such a great job. Well, they couldn't hear anything. Questions. Well, he was translating for the old men, 74-year-old men on stage. And he was like, he said.
And the whole time I saw Colin, I kept thinking, man, he would be a great Father Christmas.
Colin Baker would be fantastic in the role of Father Christmas. He's so cherubic. He's such
Santa Claus for our American listeners.
He's translating from British already. That's how much into the Doctor Who convention Chip got. That's fantastic. Stephen Schapansky from Radio Fiscaro did a great job moderating so many panels. And I definitely want to thank our executive producers of the week, Laura and Hillary. They were they generous this week with their listening to the show and giving back to the show. I want to thank both of them very much. If you would like to join them, if you want to buy us a beer or two, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to this concept. Head over to Patreon and go to our Patreon page and pledge an amount. Even if you put in a dollar, if we've given you any value over the year,
is this the PBS speech?
This is on PBS.
He's gone and Rick Steves.
And if you've enjoyed any of the programming that we've given you for the last year, every week,
you can't get it anywhere else.
This is exclusive. We've got tote bags and bumper stickers, we don't have tote bags. We have bumper stickers though. But go to our Patreon page. We love our support, and we love all of our executive producers, Laura and Hillary. They definitely are the stars of the week.
Well, thank you very much.
There you go. I think I've gushed enough. I think I listed all the people.
Well, Steve went through his Doctor Hughes phase. He's got 2 weeks to build up to Star Wars.
That's right. Star Wars in 2 weeks. I should start a countdown for that. We did a countdown for this. We should say, now I've got an idea.
Time to play those trailers, Steve.
I think, no trailers. Nope. I am not going to watch a Star Wars trailer. I never will. I think we have enough information for now to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
Absolutely. If you need more information, give us a call. Our text, our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com. Find all the information that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Essenflug.
And we'll see you in the future. So we don't talk about what I want to talk about.